They see no hope. They see no future. They see no present. And they give up. Suicide rate is the highest that it's ever been. Young people, old people, middle-aged people, individuals that just decide to quit, and it's easier, more simple, just to take their own life. Let me tell you something. God looks to you individually and watches you individually. I have preached that message ever since I have been preaching. The importance of the individual. You think that God's not paying attention because of your past. Today, as you and I are going to be looking at the journey to live by God's grace, as we look at that, I want you to pay attention to your life. I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that you are so important to God that He let His Son die on that cross just for you. If you had been the only one that had ever lived, He would have went to that cross just for you. That's the ultimate love that our God has for us. But God, in expressing His love to you and to me, to each individual, God says, here's what I want you to pay attention to. My love is called grace. Grace means unmerited favor. Grace means you had nothing to do with it. Grace means that it's all God. God said, I'm going to express my love to you through what I will call grace, unmerited favor, a love that has no beginning and no ending, just like God our Father, because God is love. So God, in His love, has given us something that we know as grace. Now I know with our listening audience and those of you who are here, there are many people that feel like that they have been locked up in life, that life itself has put them in their own solitary confinement cell awaiting on death row. Now you know I served as the chaplain for 30-some years for 20 different places in the state correctional system, chaplain and watching people in their cell block and dealing with the criminal justice system and those individuals who were convicted on death row or those who saw no hope for life. Let me remind you of something. For those of you who are standing out in this nation right now, and you know that you have your freedom, but there's something that's really bothering you. I want to tell you something, and I want you to pay attention to me. Life and all of the evil that goes along with life can surround you to the point, all the hurt, all the pain keep coming at you, coming at you, coming at you, and you feel like you're in that cell. And in that cell that you feel like you're in, you're locked in psychologically, physically, you're there. You can barely move. You're just waiting for the day that the guard comes and he opens that door and walks you down to the electric chair or to however they're going to give you that death. You're in that cell. You're waiting. You hear the key go in. You'd always hear the key go in and hear the clicking of the door or the buzzing of the opening. And there's the guard coming. You know you're headed down to your last meal, to the chair. You're giving your life. You're guilty of all everything that they've said you were guilty of. And as that door is turned and opened, you look up and the guard is looking at you, and you know good and well you're ready to meet your punishment. And you say to the guard, is it my time? and you hear these words coming from him, oh no, you're free to go. Jesus paid it for you. Grace. That's grace. Now listen to me. Those who are listening, no fight to get away from the thought of suicide. Please back off, because there's hope. That door is going to open, and when it opens, you will see the freedom from Christ. You will feel the power of Almighty God at work. That's grace. And God says, I give it to you. My son had paid the price. Act like it, Christian. You stand up for what is right. You stand up for the word of God. Though they beat you down, don't you give up. Though everyone turn against you, you stand for the goodness of Almighty God. Stand and be counted. Listen to the heartbeat of God. But Brother Larry, how do I receive that grace? Brother Randy, how do I receive that grace? Listen to me. Grace is so loving. Grace is so strong. Grace is so mighty. Grace is so forgiving. Grace is so powerful. It is grace itself that gives you the strength to acknowledge who Jesus is. You see, I can accept Jesus until Jesus brought that grace to me. God the Father said, Son, you are my love. I give you to a world that hates you. Whosoever calls on your name will be saved. You got me? That's not how you're acting, what you're doing. Well, you know I need to act a little better. You need to accept more grace. You don't have any business acting wrong to begin with. What's your reason for it? Feel good moment? Oh, they're fleeting. Because after you feel good, you feel bad about feeling good. But you did. So God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to realize that it is my son who has given you grace to say yes to me. How do you receive God's grace? You ready? By trusting in Christ. Now, I got grace, Brother Randy, first. And because of grace, it was that what you and I call coming under conviction. We knew we were lacking. Christ comes in. Grace abounds, touches your life. And he says, accept me. And you say yes. You say yes. There are many who say no. It's not because they weren't given the opportunity. Everyone will always have that opportunity because of grace. Grace touches your heart, and Jesus says, accept me or reject me. When you accept Christ, my friends, that's him putting his arms around you. That's him hugging you. That's him saying, you belong to me now. Woo! You belong to me now. You are my son. You are my daughter. And the scripture tells us the law was given through Moses. That's John 1:17. But grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. Jesus the Christ, our deliverer. It came through him. He brought us truth because he is truth. And he says, trust me. I'll walk you through this life. And as I'm walking you through this life, you hear his word say, pray for your enemies. Lord, wait a minute. You know, I got my hands full here, and you got me praying for my enemies. Why? Because when they mess with you, they mess with me. I read the book. You don't want to do that. You do not want to mess, period, with the called of God. God said, that's my family. So therefore, I've received the grace. And in that grace, I have received the power. Do you ever think about how that you can show appreciation to God for the grace you have? A lot of people say, well, what do I do? What do I do to show God how appreciative I am of such amazing grace, Brother Randy? It's amazing. It just ain't grace. It's amazing grace. It's powerful grace. It's loving grace. It's understanding grace. It's grace. Well, if I don't have enough of it, God said, I'll give you grace on grace. Woo, that's a lot of loving, isn't it? Don't you think anything's going to be so powerful it'll pull you out of my hands, because it will not. I wish you preachers would quit preaching that stuff. Once you belong to Jesus, if there was a power so great out here that could pull you out of his hands, why were you serving him to begin with? He's God incarnate. God says, trust me, believe in me, I'll walk you through this life. So here's how you and I are going to show our gratitude, grace, gratitude. We're going to be gracious. God's gracious with us, so gracious. He loves me when I'm unlovable. And anymore, that's all the time. Folks, I got news for you. When you get these cancer and all of this other garbage goes on with you, somebody, you know, I've been known to get grouchy. Yep. Been out of sorts a few times. Yep. My wife shaking her head yes up and down over here. How do I show my gratitude? For one thing, I want you to make your life count. Your life count. Now quit worrying about telling everybody else how they're supposed to live their life. You got your hands full with your life right where you are. So therefore, I want to show gratitude to God, so I am going to make my life count. Listen to 1 Peter 4:10. Each one, individually, you got that, each, should use whatever gift he has received, whatever it is. It doesn't matter that gift was received by grace. So don't forget that. Whatever gift that you have, whatever gift he had received, to serve others. I want to show my gratitude to God. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to help someone else. I'm going to take that gift that God has given me, and I'm going to use that gift for the benefit of someone else. Not that you're going to hoard it. Hoarding life. Life's a gift to you. Getting to be in the presence of Almighty God for such great love. It's a gift God has given you. Your family's a gift God has given you. Your country is a gift God has given you. And yes, I don't care, as long as I'm pastor here, that American flag will be seen in this pulpit when I'm preaching. If you don't like the looks of it, turn it off. But it'll be here as long as I'm pastor. Do you know, I keep reminding you of this, folks. The pledge of the United States of America is the only pledge that recognizes God in control. One nation under God. Why do I keep going back to that? Because the flag seemed to upset some folks. Love the Lord with all your heart. Pledge allegiance to him, and he'll give you a nation like the United States of America, and I'm proud of this nation. God says, make your life count. Do something for someone else. Listen, 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he had received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace. Huh? In its various forms. Grace comes a lot of ways. You look at a kid. I'd love doing this. Look at a kid. You know that kid that's down. You know, you see his countenance fall. You're really feeling for that kid. And you go up and you give that kid a blessing. You brag on that kid. I buy him junk. But whatever it takes, you want to see that sparkle. That you being gracious. That's you thanking God for what he has done in your life. You thank him by helping someone else. Being gracious to someone else. Make your life count. You are worth something. You are not worthless. You're created in the image of Almighty God. He created you for a purpose, given you the talents in that purpose. Use those gifts by helping someone else. Be gracious. I appreciate graciousness. I appreciate that love. And God says, use yourself, the gifts I've given you. That's thanks to me. You're thanking God. You're showing God how appreciative you are. That's how you give to God, by giving to one another's. Number two, by becoming a generous person. Being generous. In generosity, I'm saying to you, be generous with that smile God has given you. Be generous with that good loving heart God has given you. Share it. The world's looking for it. Fellow Christians are looking for it. Share with all your heart, with all almighty grace that you have been given. You share it with others. Be a generous person. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8. Each one, going back to you as an individual, should give what he has decided in his heart to give. You all have heard me how many times? It doesn't matter. I tell you all the time, don't you dare give to this church if you need that money to feed your family. Don't you dare do that. I guarantee you this church will be taken care of. God's watching over. So therefore, God said, I want you to be generous, but don't use church as an excuse not to be. Oh, I would really help you today with food, but you know, I needed to give it to the Lord. He does not want it. You keep it. Because God wants you to watch after one another. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Don't you let somebody talk you into it. Well, you know, if you don't give, if you don't do that, then and some people tell you you're going to hell if you don't. Your pastor's here to tell you that when you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you're not going anywhere but to heaven. You got me? Amen. Don't get into this foolishness. You got grace to give, but God has given it to you. You're responsible. I want to show God that I love him. Nobody has to tell me to give to God's ministry. Nobody has to tell me to do that. Nobody has to tell me how much to give. Because in your heart, if God has blessed you, and he has in all his grace, then give from the heart. If you don't want to give, don't give. God is not going to zap you because you didn't. Make up your mind in your heart and then follow through with what your heart says, what grace says. Want you to give, decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you. Woo! I like all grace. Oh, I get excited, Brother Randy. So that in all things, are you hearing me? In all things, at all times, having all that you need. I love you all so much. I don't see anybody in my congregation that looks like they're hungry. I know you're not hungry. God has blessed you. Now I'm going to back off of that before I get in trouble in just a little bit. But I do want you to know you've been given all. You have it all. Thanks, God, for letting me live in America. Thanks, Lord, for letting me live in a nation that everybody wants to come to, that don't have the freedoms that we continue to fight for to keep today. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Woo, I got the grace. I want to work that grace by giving to others. Well, Brother Larry, give to me. Well, you honor thing, get to work for it. Like Brother Larry did. That's not what it means. It means when you see someone in need. Peter says, if you don't work, you don't eat. He's not talking about people who are unable to work. He's not talking about people who are handicapped. He's talking about honoring people that just want to sit back and let somebody else feed them the grapes. That's what he's talking about. When someone is hurting and someone is down and someone's in need, he says, you go and you help them, Larry. If I send their name to you, if I send them to you, I want you to help. You help in a way, the gift that I have given you to help. You tell them the truth. You stand there with them. Tell them they don't have to give up in life. When that door opens, they're not going to the chair. They're not going to have to face the evil of that dying process like that. Because he said, I promised you, when you call on my name and you are saved, you will never see death. I'll come and get you. They open that door and they're Jesus. Let's go home, Larry. What's he going to say to us? Welcome in, good and faithful servant. Or will it be those individuals who have rejected him? I'm not talking about your foolish mistakes, your foolish intent, your foolish sins in life. No, Jesus paid for them. That's correct. Past, present, and future. Yes, that's correct. But what does it give me? It gives me a heart of love to love God more. I've been forgiven for everything. Folks, I got a ticket. I got a ticket. His name is Jesus. I know him. I got his blood. I got his love. I have his grace. And he has my heart. I gave it to him. Lord, I don't know what to do with it. Give it to me, Larry. I created it. I will make it a heart. Soft for the ministry I've called you for. A ministry of love, understanding. Oh, I don't understand crime. I don't understand the sins. I don't understand why so many good people hurt. I don't understand any of that. But I understand this. Jesus is still in control. And what does he say? Call on my name. Oh, well, now, you know, I just don't want to bother him. I do. I bother him all the time. I'm not ashamed of bothering him. Lord, Lord, Lord. If all of you all that kept getting the prayer messages last week and said, well, what's the matter, Brother Larry? There's a lot going on, all these prayer things. It's an idea of saying, Lord, I can't handle this. I can't handle that. Lord, here I am. Save me. Again, every day of your life. You need saving. You listen to me. You're heaven bound, Christian. You're going to heaven. But every day of your life, the world hits you. Life hits you. You don't give up by committing suicide. You don't give up by giving up on your family. You don't just give up. Because Jesus says, I'll pick you up. The Christian become a generous person. Not this generosity with your money. What God blessed you with. Generosity with you. You know, be who you are. People love that. Okay, be around people and share your spirit. Share your smart aleck mouth. Right, Paula? Share it. Share such a blessing that God has given you. Special spirit. Special love. Special care. Last one, I show gratitude to my Father in heaven, to my Savior, by sharing the good news of grace. Now listen to this. He says, Paul, I've called you for a special purpose. There is a group of people over here that are not Jewish. And you are going to take to them my message of grace. And I'm saved. I'm saved. You're saved. Because we heard the message. Listen. Acts 20, verse 24. God called me to this task. You want to know what your pastor's called to? Listen to it. The most important thing, this is Paul, is that I complete my mission, Paul says. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. I love my calling. I'm called by God to tell you, world, to tell you who are hurting individual people, God loves you just like you are. You cry out to Him, that cell door will open. Life has no authority over you. Cancers have no authority over you. It may kill the body, but let me tell you something. This body is going down shouting grace. I'll tell you about grace. Well, I guess I can't. It's just too great. I cannot express how great it is. There are no words that can express it. There is nobody who can understand it, but there is everyone who can receive it. Whatever your situation, call on the name of the Lord, and by His grace, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Welcome to the family of God. Your pastor loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings, the joy of life. Thank you, Father, for your message. Thank you for just each personality that we're able to come in contact with, each one of us. Thank you for using us, Father. We ask now that your power will be the greatest within each one. Father, I ask your special touch, your special protection upon our congregation. You have given me this congregation, Father, and I am their shepherd. Therefore, Father, I lift each one to you, asking your special touch, your special anointing upon their life, your special healing, your special gracious love, and so much that we can share it with others. Touch our lives as we travel this week. For I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, folks, God loves you. He's given you a call as an individual. Accept your call. Stand strong for Him. Be gracious to one another. Oh, God loves us so much. Let's stand together, please. Remember, my friends, you're going to have a great opportunity this week. Please take time to look down in that ditch of life. As you look down in the ditch of life, you'll see someone down there hurting worse than you ever dreamed of hurting. If you'll reach that hand down in that ditch of life, you just might touch a hand of Jesus. Boy, it'd be exciting, wouldn't it? Larry, what are you doing up there? Get down here and help this person. That's the touch that you're looking for. Whatever you do as you go, don't you dare gossip. Go in love. Go in peace. Go in service to God. God bless you. You are dismissed. Love you, folks. Be safe.